In honor of Brother Don Wildman and his wife Linda, it's Founders Day on American Family Radio. It's been more than 40 years since Reverend Don Wildman felt a calling from the Lord and began pouring all his energy and resources into starting a new ministry. Since then, countless lives have been touched by God through AFA and AFR.
The only promise I've ever made to people who give us money, that is, we'll be the best stewards of their money, their gifts, as we can be.
To help us honor Brother Don's hard work and faithfulness to the Lord, you can call 877-616-2396 and make a pledge of support to AFR. That's 877-616-2396. Or give online at AFR.net. It's day two of Share-a-thon, and it's Founders Day on American Family Radio.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Share-a-thon. Welcome back, I should say. Hopefully you've been listening this morning to day two of Share-a-thon. Two of three. We've got tomorrow. We'll wrap it up tomorrow evening, tomorrow afternoon sometime here on American Family Radio for our Share-a-thon. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Tim, how are you?
Doing well. Mm-hmm. I was on with Jenna Ellis this morning, and we had a good hour, and then Jeff and Brother Bird and Rob Wise, and it's just been a good morning. I don't want to forget those Alex and Bert and all those folks who got up real early this morning to get us started.
Yeah, but it's Rob West, too.
Yeah, Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said Rob.
You said Rob Wise.
Well,
you've been up.
No, I said Rob is wise.
Oh, Rob.
You misunderstood me. I said Rob
is
wise.
That
is
entirely possible.
His last name is West.
My wife tells me that all the time.
That you're wise?
No, the other thing. You misunderstood me.
You misunderstood me. Yeah, my bad. Yeah. Wesley had an accident last night, my oldest son. And
He's okay.
But he had to go get some stitches in his head.
He was cleaning like his garage,
yeah,
and putting some things up. And I didn't realize when you said this morning to our staff during devotion to let folks know what had happened to Wesley, yeah, and because he had to go get stitches last night,
right,
and was there, as most people know, in an emergency room. It was several hours, but you mentioned a battery had fallen from one of the shelves.
Yeah,
I was thinking like one of those larger batteries, you know, 6-volt battery or something that goes in a flashlight. It was one of those big batteries that goes in a lawnmower.
Yeah.
That could have done some serious damage. But he wound up with stitches.
Yeah, a few stitches.
I saw him a few minutes
above
ago.
His eyebrow. But I told him to walk it off.
sand on it.
Yeah, rub some sand on it, like our coaches told us, right?
And I did tell him, I said, it's right in his eyebrow, and it goes up at an angle. And I said, that is going to look good. When you get a little scar,
little Charles Bronson action going on,
exactly,
something like that.
You're gonna look like a brawler.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, he's okay, but not feeling so well here this morning after that accident. But so I was up late last night. Thus, I mispronounced a gentleman's name I should know. I know it's Rob West, not Rob Wise. All right, so Share-a-thon it is here on American Family Radio. Set it up for us, Ed?
Absolutely. It is Share-a-thon. We are mondo excited, folks, because our staff gets to interact with you.
Yes.
Those of you who are calling in, and some of you have already talked to our staff members yesterday and already this morning. Thank you so much for calling and giving to American Family Radio. 3 days in the fall, 3 days in the spring, we have our Share-a-thon. And our Share-a-thon always has a theme, and our theme this year this fall is Revive Us Again. And the scripture verse that is kind of the wellspring of that idea for us for the 3 days is Psalm 85, verses 6 and 7, and I'm going to read it for you. It says, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation." So we're encouraging you to call and make your pledge.
No, we're not encouraging. We're asking. We're demanding it.
We're desperately asking. How's that?
I'm just going to try to demand and see if it works.
Hey,
we're requiring you to call in. No, I'm kidding.
No,
but a lot of people already have.
Yes,
called in yesterday. They called in early this morning. they gave before Share-a-thon ever started. We want to say thank you to everybody who's given.
In fact, I'm going to read some of the folks who have given. We have a computer screen, folks, that has all this stuff on it for us.
Right.
So Judy from Plainview, Texas, Martin from Hamburg, Arkansas, Johnia from Waveland, Mississippi, Jean from Clear Lake, Iowa, Danielle from Wichita, Kansas, David from Ottawa, Ohio, Roberta from, looks like, Russiaville, Indiana. I hope that's not misinformation out of Russiaville.
What is that?
You get that, Russia?
I got your misinformation.
So anyway, lots of folks have already given. Thank you so much, David from Fletcher, Oklahoma. William from High Point, North Carolina. Thank you so much for giving. And if you have not given and would like to, here's how you can do it.
Yeah.
Here's the number. 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can give online safely and securely at AFR.net. Some people prefer to just do it by going online. Some people don't like to talk to strangers on the phone. And you can go to AFR.net if that's...
But the thing about our... The beautiful thing about our volunteers and our staff who are answering the phones, they're friendly.
Yes,
they're
nice. They are.
And they are receptive. Now, they're not counselors, so you know what I'm saying? But they can take a credit card.
Yes, that's right.
And they
right.
can say thank you.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're needing counseling on whether you should marry your fiancé...
Call your pastor.
Yeah, you need to call your pastor.
That's what he gets paid for. Pastors are going, no. That's
not what yeah, don't.
No. Anyway, all right, Fred, we've got some news. Obviously, the big news across the country is the hurricane about to hit Florida.
Yeah, Hurricane Milton, and the news is still dire. It has backed off a little bit to a Category 4, but we're still talking winds of 145 miles per hour. It is supposed to hit the landmass there in the Florida Peninsula later on tonight and through the day tomorrow. And the evacuation has gone well, but there are some people who are insisting on staying. Tampa, still going to get hurt with that big surge. They're talking about waters up to 15 feet higher. A little bit further south, Sarasota, Fort Myers, all of that area. In fact, as we're sitting here right now, the outer bands of Milton have also already arrived in that area. But the mayor of Tampa, Mayor Jane Castor, had this very serious warning for those who are still considering trying to ride this thing out. Cut number two.
What would you say to people tonight who are saying, you know what, I'm going to ride this out, I've ridden others out? What would you say to people who aren't heeding those evacuation orders?
Well, I can tell you right now that they may have done that in others. There's never been one like this. And this, Helene was a wake-up call. This is literally catastrophic. And I can say without any dramatization whatsoever, if you choose to stay in one of those evacuation areas, you're going to die.
Yeah, that's pretty
bad. That is grim. That's just... And listen... She's not kidding.
No.
I mean, a couple people may escape, but you are, it's like diving into crocodile infested waters. If there's a bunch of you who try it, maybe one makes it to the other side. Everyone else getting eaten.
Yeah. I heard a guy being interviewed this morning. He lives in St. Pete's, just below Tampa there. And he has ridden out previous hurricanes.
Yeah.
He said, even with Helene, the water came up to the front door, which was the most. That scared him a bit. But now everybody is saying this is going to be the worst in more than 100 years.
Yes.
And so yesterday he packed up the precious things in his car. His wife and kids had already left, but he packed their passports, the artwork that's important, family albums, all that sort of thing. And just saying, okay, we're going to leave. They're going about 100 miles inland. They have relatives there. But this is, and there's another warning, too, from Governor Ron DeSantis. He's warning people about not to take advantage of the storm. So we're talking about looters here. Cut number one.
This is not going to be an opportunity for folks to take advantage of people. If you think you're going to go in and loot, you got another thing coming. You go into somebody's house after the storm passes, think that you're going to be able to commit crimes. You're going to get in really serious trouble. And quite frankly, you don't know what's behind that door in a Second Amendment state. So do not try to take advantage of people who are suffering because of the results of this storm.
Yeah, so, and this is strange too. This is going to maintain the hurricane status right through the state until it gets to the Atlantic Ocean. So it's not going to back off that much all the way over to the East Coast.
Because we mentioned yesterday, and most people know this, Florida's a very flat state.
Yeah.
And by that we mean there's no mountains. There's not a lot of natural terrain that will break up the force of the storm.
Resistance.
It's just going to roll over.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm watching a live cam of Siesta Key. I've been there before. That's a beach around Sarasota. And so the storm surge, of course, the winds, if you're 130, 140, 150 mile an hour sustained winds. And I don't know how far a space that would entail, maybe 15, 20 miles, be it that intense. I don't know, maybe less than that. But then out from that, you still got tropical force winds, 70, 80, 90 miles an hour, sustained for an hour or two, or maybe longer, who knows, 3 or 4 hours. And I was watching, and we mentioned this yesterday, I was watching people show that there's debris everywhere from the hurricane from 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. People have cleaned up their yards, their property, and they've stacked stuff up for the garbage trucks to come by, the dump trucks to take off to the landfill.
And they were doing the best they could to get that stuff, but there's a lot left.
Yeah, but if you can imagine, especially for the storm surge area, you got water that's going to lift all that stuff up and take it who knows where. But then you got the wind coming in, so even if you're not close to the ocean where the storm surge would affect you, you're still going to have all that debris flying around.
Yeah, and it can be extremely dangerous. You mentioned, we were talking about this morning, 2x4s, but also
become missiles.
Yeah, but also, you know, wood that's splintered, nails, all that stuff flying around at 140 miles an hour becomes lethal.
Are the Weather Channel guys going to stay there on the beach?
I don't know about that, but I was just going to mention, be praying for the first responders, because there will be first responders who stay behind. And, you know, we read these stories all the time that there are those, you know, residents, and they'll go out and try to rescue them. Despite all the warnings that have been leading up to this, there are going to be first responders that are going to be some of the hospitals, they believe, like in the Tampa area, Sarasota, they believe, you know, they're 5-6 stories that they can be sustained.
Yeah.
And so there may be people that are going to be housed in those areas, first responders, that the first opportunity they get can start rescues.
Listen, there's so much that goes on of a destructive nature in these storms. Of course, a lot of times power will be out, but sometimes power lines are down and the power's not out.
Yes.
And that becomes a danger for people walking around and for first responders. It's just helpful if people leave when they can, when they're told to evacuate.
Yeah, and I think the vast majority of people have left and did leave, especially after what happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, but I had some friends that drove from Orlando to Charlotte. Some other people I know went from Vero Beach to Jacksonville. Most people went north, who were in the central part of the state, to stay away from the coast as much as possible. You're listening to Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. And we would like you to support us financially, folks. That's why we're stopping our regular programming for the most part on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We do this 3 days in the fall, 3 days in the spring. Let's hear from one of our listeners, and then we'll come back.
Hi, my name is Shamar White, and I give my deepest condolences to the passing, and my deepest prayers and love and thoughts go out to the family. As I listened to him, I never knew him or anything like that, but he was a wonderful, strong, godly, fair man, which I'm striving to be to this day. I listen to the stations every day. I am grateful for the family. I love y'all with all my heart. Please keep up the good work. Y'all are deeply in my prayers. I love y'all. Please stay strong. And if there's anything I can do to help, I am willing to do so. All praises go to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, I mentioned this. We all mentioned this. We love these listener testimonies during Share-a-thon. For the most part, I don't get to hear these until we play them. Like you said, let's play a listener testimony. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, it is so encouraging when we hear how God is using American Family Radio. And it's encouraging to see we have 6,829 total pledges right now. That's a lot of families. Tim, you always mention a lot of that represents, some of them are single individuals, but a lot of families are represented by that. That's an encouragement to us, too. It is our fall Share-a-thon, and Revive Us Again is our theme. Until 11 o'clock, folks, we have...
Central time.
We have a Founders Day $50,000 challenge. Today is Founders Day because we are taking this day in Share-a-thon especially to honor our founder, Donald Weilman, Don Weilman. So this is our Founders Day $50,000 challenge. Now, what does that mean? It means that a group of supporters has generously donated leading up to Share-a-thon, and they are now challenging you, the listeners, to come alongside them to support the work of AFA and American Family Radio. Here's how you do it. 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can give online at afr.net. And I do want to mention that we do have premiums available for our fall Share-a-thon for a one-time gift of $150,000. Listen, yeah. You give $150,000.
We'll send you two books.
We'll send.
No, we don't care.
We'll go. Tim and I'll come and we'll take you out to dinner.
Yeah, we'll. Yeah.
So this is. I'm sorry. For a one-time gift of $150
yes.
or more,
mm-hmm.
you will receive a small Revive Us Again travel bag. Now, if you become a Great Commission partner with a monthly gift of $30 or more.
What's a Great Commission partner again?
A Great Commission partner is someone who gives monthly, and it's like an automatic draft out of your bank account or your debit card, credit card, whatever. And it's helpful to you and it's helpful to us. It's helpful to you because you don't have to write out a check and find an envelope and go
right.
through all of that.
What a hassle.
It just comes out. Like a lot of us do, we pay bills. I have
your bills online. They just come out
yes,
every month.
Yes, just comes out. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it.
We can do that for you.
And it helps us because it gives right. us a better picture of what we have coming in.
That's right.
It's better for us to budget. So if you become a Great Commission partner with a monthly gift of $30 or more, you will not only receive the Revive Us Again travel bag, but a copy of Tim Weilman's new book, Because These Things Matter. It is a compilation of cultural commentaries that Tim has written over the years that have appeared in our monthly magazine.
They're poignant.
They are. Some of them are. Some of them are humorous, but right. all of them, Tim, are insightful.
Yeah.
So Tim's
Thank
new
you,
book.
Ed. Yeah. I didn't ask for that compliment.
You didn't?
I just want people to know you and I didn't get together off
we
the air and you
guys
said you compliment me on my book.
Right.
Did we do that? No, we didn't do that.
No, but I've read it.
Right.
Because I was involved in
right.
overseeing the editing process and there wasn't a whole lot of editing involved, but
right.
we always do have someone.
So anyway, we're going to send them the book.
The book and the Revive Us Again travel bag if they
yeah.
become a Great Commission partner
right.
for $30.
What do they need to do to qualify for that?
If they become a Great Commission partner with a monthly gift of $30 or more, you receive the travel bag and the book Because These Things
What
matter.
Phone number do I call to make that pledge?
The number is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. We have folks waiting right now to take your call. They are, we have some of them are guests who have come in to help us. A lot of them are staff members. Some of you probably talked to Steve Jordahl yesterday afternoon after the program. After this program, he went over there to answer calls. So you never know who you might find on the other end of the line. You can also give online if you want at AFR.net. But until 11 o'clock Central Time, we are in the midst of a Founders Day $50,000 challenge.
Absolutely. Well, you're listening to Charathon here on American Family Radio. Tim here with Ed and Fred, and we thank you as always for listening. Listen, at the in about 5, 6, 7 minutes, we're going to have on our good friend Gary Haven from Waco, the Waco area, Waco, Texas area, and he's a helicopter pilot, and he went to North Carolina to help in relief efforts last week, and he's going to tell us about it. So we look forward to hearing from Gary Haven in just a few moments. What else you got, Fred?
Well, we had a court victory yesterday for a gentleman by the name of Jack Phillips. I think if you've listened to us over the last 10, 12 years, you've heard Jack Phillips' name mentioned a number of times. He's a baker from Colorado.
Yeah. Just wants to bake cakes and cupcakes and sell them. That's all he wants to do.
And he will sell cakes to
anybody.
Anybody. But what happened was he got hauled into court because some homosexuals wanted him to bake a cake to celebrate a homosexual marriage. He's a Christian. I can't do that. So that's gone through the courts. That went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. But as soon as that United States Supreme Court decision came down, he was challenged again, this time by a transgender. They wanted a transgender cake. I think it was pink on the inside, blue on the outside, or something like that. But yesterday, the Colorado Supreme Court basically shut that particular case down. So we are celebrating with Jack Phillips today. Jack Phillips is one story. We've talked now about Christian photographers.
Right.
We've talked about
florists,
all being challenged. And it's not because they hate homosexuals or transgenders, whatever the case may be. They just do not want to use their craft to celebrate something they know is biblically sin.
And it's a free speech issue.
Yes.
I mean, nobody in their right mind would require a Jewish baker to produce a cake with a swastika on it.
Yeah.
All right? Mm. Nobody would expect that to happen, and people would be horrified by it. And that's all Jack Phillips was just saying is, you can't force me to make speech that goes against my religious convictions.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't like he was standing at the door of his bakery going, checking people's sexual identity. Yeah. Oh, are you gay?
Show me your sexual orientation card. Yeah.
But the reverse of that is true. These Christians are being targeted.
Oh, yeah.
It's not because there aren't other bakers in town.
No. Right.
Or florists. Right. Or photographers.
Who will do the cakes?
Who will do it?
Yeah.
No. These people are being targeted because they have Christian standards.
Right. They wanted to punish Jack Phillips. Well, the good news is, and hopefully we'll get Jack Phillips on. He's from, again, from Colorado. He's the baker in Colorado. I think this whole saga has been going on 12 years.
12
years. From beginning to end. And it's been to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, now the Colorado Supreme Court on a separate case. And he's been, and so he's won. Mm-hmm. He's won the case. I think yesterday the Supreme Court of Colorado ruled on a technicality, but hey, it's the same purpose, really. I mean, same result. He won.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have been praying for him. All right, we're going to take a short time out. When we get back, we'll talk to Gary Haven, who got in his helicopter and flew to North Carolina from Texas to help in relief efforts after the hurricane damage that was done. And we'll talk to him about his experience there when we return from this short timeout. You're listening to Charathon on American Family Radio.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him unto the high priest's house. Peter followed at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. After Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was carried to the house of Joseph Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest that year, although it was his father-in-law Annas who had the real power. In all probability, the party walked up a flight of steps in the southern part of Jerusalem to reach the house of Caiaphas. Some steps have been excavated, which led to the spot where many believe the house of Caiaphas stood. It is possible to walk those very steps today. The Church of St. Peter in Gallicanto, which means cockcrow, is a lovely little church building constructed by the Augustinian fathers on the site where they accept as that of the house of Caiaphas. The church gets its name from the fact that Peter denied he knew Jesus three times in the courtyard before the 3 a.m. hour, the time of the cockcrow. In the life of Jesus, we have some hours between 3 o'clock in the morning and about 6 o'clock in the morning, during which we don't know what happened to him. A visitor to the Church of St. Peter in Gallicanto today will be taken down into the basement to examine a pit carved from the rock. The pit is very small and had only one opening large enough for a person to enter it. The opening is at the top of the pit. The pit was part of the jail located there. Perhaps Jesus, being tried and condemned by an illegal makeshift Sanhedrin meeting in the early hours, was brought to this pit to spend the next few hours. In the 88th Psalm, one can read what could have been the feelings of Jesus if indeed he was lowered into this pit. Peter denied his Lord that night. He did so, I feel, not so much from cowardice as from bewilderment and confusion. He did not know what Jesus expected him to do. Did he not get rebuked by the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane just a short time before when he fought for the safety and release of Jesus? Certainly Peter was confused as to what course of action to follow. Standing on the balcony of the Church of St. Peter in Gallicanto, you can see where the courtyard was that Peter denied his Lord. And as you gaze in that direction, you aren't quite as fast to point the accusing finger at the big fisherman. You can recall those times when you too denied the Lord by silence or inaction. It is one thing to find fault and blame. It is another thing altogether to take a very deep look into one's own commitment. We aren't nearly as perfect as we sometimes think we are. As you leave this beautiful little church building, you do so thinking that you need to spend more time on the log in your own eye and less on the splinter in your neighbor's eye. Jesus was speaking to each of us when he gave that advice.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
It's day two of Share-a-thon, and it's Founders Day. We're honoring Brother Don Wildman for his hard work and faithfulness to the Lord.
Faithfulness is the word.
You can join us in honoring Brother Don for your support of this ministry. Call now at 877-616-2396 and make your pledge. That's 877-616-2396. Or give online at afr.net. It's Founders Day on American Family Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. As always, we thank those who have already given. We're nearing 7,000 pledges. That represents, for the most part, 7,000 families who've given to American Family Radio either prior to Share-a-thon or yesterday or earlier this morning. We just say thank you very much for your making AFR possible. And, you know, we don't take it for granted. And it costs a lot of money to own and operate this many radio stations, nearly 170 radio stations across America. We just bought one in Bought a new radio station, stations in central Alabama. We'll cover Birmingham and Tuscaloosa, and we're excited about that. So we want to grow, you know. We want to grow, too. So, we thank you, everybody who's made a pledge thus far. We'll be having Share-a-thon through tomorrow evening. I don't know what time we'll stop, but Share-a-thons last 3 days, 3 days in the spring, 3 days in the fall. And the phone number to call and make a gift and be as generous as you possibly can is 877-616-2396. Again, I'll give that number. Call 877-616-2396. What kind of match you said we got going on? Or
well, we have we call it a Founders Day $50,000 challenge.
Okay.
So today is Founders Day, the middle day of our 3 days Share-a-thon, during which we honor the founder, your dad,
yeah,
Don Weilman. And so we have a $50,000 Founders Day challenge going on. And what does that mean? It means that a group of supporters has generously donated, leading up to Share-a-thon, this amount of money, $50,000. And they are now challenging our listeners to come alongside them to support the work of AFA and AFR.
All right. Well, many of you, probably all of you, have been paying attention to the relief efforts, the aftermath of Hurricane Helene, which hit Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and North Carolina, South Carolina, and Alabama, too. But mostly the devastation was the flooding that took place in Tennessee and Carolina and Georgia. But joining us on the phone is a gentleman who went to be a part of the relief efforts there to help out his fellow Americans. And Gary Haven joins us from Texas. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Gary, you came by the studio and offices, I don't know, 10 days ago or so. You were on your way with your helicopter to North Carolina. What were you going to do, and what did you see and experience?
Well, Tim, it was terrible and wonderful. Terrible, of course, was the devastation. You know, tens of thousands of people were just in a terrible way. Many of their homes had been washed away. They were blessed to get out with their lives, with little or no possessions, by the way. The electricity still out for thousands of people. The water systems have all been contaminated, so there's no fresh water. And there were health care needs. There were people that needed insulin and a variety of other meds. It was just an apocalypse of desolation up there. It was really hard to believe. And, you know, the wonderful part of it was were the thousands of volunteers that showed up that on their own money, their own time, were doing so many things, whether it was the good old boys on their mud buggies going up the sides of mountains and rescuing people and bringing supplies. I worked, of course, with Operation Airdrop, which had over 50 private helicopters show up and set up base at Hickory Airport. And the ops center was manned by a number of volunteers who coordinated finding the needs in the field and acquiring supplies and medicines and then putting them on helicopters. I did an average of 4 missions a day where I would take out food, water, and medicine, and then when necessary to bring people with healthcare needs back into Hickory Airport where they had set up a medical clinic. And it really was, I've used the term, a thing of beauty to see private individuals stepping up. I want to mention that the Share-a-thon is a major donor of your Share-a-thon for more than 20 years, I guess. I choose where to give my resources, and your organization is one of those trusted organizations, much like these good people that have shown up there to meet the needs of people that were in dire straits. So So I really encourage people to trust your organization. I make sure that a certain amount of my funds go to telling people the good news. And you guys do that in a unique and a very effective way. I know many people would have been saved from listening to one of your radio stations. And so I encourage people to do that. They can trust you. You're doing good work. And, you know, we watched the government up there fail the people. They were late to the party. And when they did show up, they didn't have any significant resources or money. So this is a good example why your organization and so many other people are the only ones that can meet the needs out there. The government's not going to solve problems. In fact, they were more of a hindrance than they were any kind of solution. So I really encourage people to participate in the telethon.
Thank you, Gary. Hey, we're talking to Gary Haven, who took his personal helicopter, from Texas to North Carolina to help out with the relief last week, and four missions a day you did for, I don't know, a week or so. And then by missions, I mean you take people. Were you airdropping? Were you dropping a basket of supplies down to people, or were you picking people up? How did that work exactly?
Yeah, you have to land. You throw something out the window, there's no telling what's going to happen. So you had to find landing spots. And that was interesting. You know, this was a mountainous region. So much of the damage were from the rivers that just came up historically high and washed away homes and roads and bridges. And so we would land in the parking lot of a fire station or on a piece of a road that was remaining, or people's yards, and that really made it concerning for a pilot, because you're going into places, you're trying to spot the remains of power lines and trees that had fallen, but we were able to get in there and get the job done. In a mountainous area, which everything's okay in a helicopter when you're flying along mountain ridges, unless your engine stops. A lot of prayer going on in that.
Yeah, I guess.
I assure you.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, thanks for joining us and sharing your experience, and I'm glad you were able to go and help those folks in North Carolina. I know a lot needs to be done going forward, but at least helping them with the immediate needs, you and all the other private helicopters who came in to help out in North Carolina. Take care. We appreciate it very much, brother.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, thank
God bless.
You.
All right.
I don't think I've ever seen such a large private enterprise of rescuers before. Gary mentioned 50, helicopters, and there were fixed wings involved. I know Samaritans.
What's fixed wings? What do you mean?
Fixed
wings.
On non-helicopters.
Airplanes.
Airplanes, okay.
Yes. I know the Samaritan's Purse, they leased a couple of Black Hawk helicopters. There were ex-military people kind of in the background running the operation. This has been absolutely fantastic. And that's why there's been a lot of criticism labeled at the federal government.
Right.
Heard another report this morning that there was an isolated community. They did have communications. And they were wondering when FEMA was going to come to help them. And FEMA, there were telephone conversations. FEMA came up to a road, and there was a sign that said road closed. But the people said, just go around the sign because you can make it up. FEMA people said, according to these individuals, I'm sorry, we cannot go around a sign that says the road is closed. That was the response.
Listen, when you have a bureaucracy the size of ours, you have
the federal government,
you have regulations and rules. And listen, we all make fun of what we call Karens and Kens in real life. The people who are always scolding someone and saying, hey, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. The federal government is filled with bureaucracy is filled with those kind of people.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're all like that. No. I've known people who have worked for the federal government, good Christian people. But I'm saying It is very difficult for a behemoth like that to do anything effectively or efficiently. And in contrast, we have Gary Haven and some of these others who take their gifts and their backgrounds. You mentioned the military,
and their money.
And their money. And they say, hey, here's a problem. How can we fix it? And you know what? This is the Christian influence in this country. Whether you're an atheist and don't believe it or not, in many places of the world where there is no Christian influence, people take care of their own.
Yeah.
And these are people who said, I'm going to put Gary Haven is talking about trying to find a place to land, power lines down, so on and so forth. This is not a day. This is not a picnic.
No.
He could have gotten seriously hurt or died doing this. But love your neighbor is a Christian ideal. It still infuses much of our country. It gives me hope for our nation's future, should God have mercy on
us. And can I put an alert out to our listeners? Watch out for the Biden administration, Harris Biden administration. Their favorite word in responding to this criticism is misinformation.
Right.
You're going to hear this over and over again.
You talk about criticism against FEMA.
Any criticism, it's being classed, Kamala Harris, Biden, Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of Homeland Security, they're all using that term. In fact, I want to play you a little montage of that, and then you're going to hear a response from New York Post columnist Miranda Devine to this use of the word misinformation. Cut four.
There's a lot of misinformation. And I beseech you, I beg you to please not pay attention to it.
Sir, what's the risk of political figures sharing misinformation during this time?
It misleads people. It puts people in circumstances where they panic, where they really, really, really worry.
So I'm going to divorce the disinformation that is being spread from any one individual and just say this. Disinformation harms survivors of a disaster, because they lose trust in their government.
There's not enough money right now for
his
people
values,
in North Carolina who need it. That's not misinformation.
Wait, no, that is, your whole premise of the question is misinformation, sir. It's misinformation.
You can't
and
call
it's
a question
there.
That you don't like misinformation.
We've seen them threaten social media, and social media therefore has censored people, whether it's about COVID-19 or, rude memes about the First Lady or Hunter Biden's laptop. They've censored American speech.
Who's they? Is that Miranda Devine?
That was Miranda Devine.
She's an excellent columnist for the New York Post. I read her stuff weekly.
But note the tactic here. And, you know, I think they sat in a room and said, here's how we're going to respond to any criticism of FEMA. We're going to call it misinformation, but we're also going to say, if you question what we're doing, you're jeopardizing the lives of people who need to be helped.
Listen, this is right out of their playbook. If you say there are only two genders, then the people on the other side, the pro-trans people, will say, you're putting at risk young people's lives. Do you want them to kill themselves?
Yeah.
No, of course we don't. We think they should get the mental health help they need.
Yes.
Not be encouraged to chop parts of their bodies off. But it's the same idea. Every time you go against the official story, the official narrative, you're accused of endangering people. And what a lot of people are saying in criticism of not just Karine Jean-Pierre, but the Biden administration is, you talk about putting people at risk, doing nothing, FEMA, puts people at risk.
Yes. And let's remember where this particular story originated. Kamala Harris, Alejandro Mayorkas said first, we're running out of money here at FEMA.
Right.
And we talked about this last week. There, on the official FEMA page, they talked about sending almost $700 million, setting aside FEMA money to help illegal immigrants get settled in this country. And so Alejandro Mayorkas, they come up with this line. And then you have Karine Jean-Pierre saying, no, that's not happening. Saying to Peter Doocy in that exchange at the White House the other day, by you even asking the question,
right,
you're guilty of misinformation. I'm asking a question based on what Alejandro Mayorkas said.
Yeah, and Karine Jean-Pierre, if I'm not mistaken, last year, 2023, mentioned that FEMA was using disaster relief money,
you're right,
to help settle.
Yes.
Illegal immigrants. Well, she didn't say illegal immigrants, but the migrants.
Migrants.
Coming across the border. So Peter Doocy and everyone else has every right to criticize and to at least ask questions. Yeah. It's not misinformation.
Yeah. Karine Jean-Pierre, she's very sensitive these days.
She walked out of that press briefing, didn't she?
She closed her binder up and walked out. Huh?
Left in a huff.
Yeah. As she was leaving the room, she says, "I want to be clear."
Well, I can tell you who is clear, folks.
Who's clear?
We're clear.
We're clear.
We're clear on American Family Radio, and this is part of the reason why we exist. We exist to get the truth out to you. Now, sometimes we don't know all the facts, but we have American Family News.
That doesn't stop us from being clear, does it?
Well, that is true. Sometimes we will talk without having all the facts. I will at least admit that for myself. Right. But we do have American Family News and the men and women on that team who are hunting the truth. And that's why we believe American Family Radio is a ministry that God has raised up. And so 3 days in the fall, 3 days in the spring, we ask you, our listeners, to help fund this very important ministry. And we have our fall Share-a-thon going on. The theme is Revive Us Again. And folks, by the way, up for the next 9 minutes, we have going on a Founders Day Challenge, $50,000. A group of supporters has generously donated in the lead up to Share-a-thon. And now they're challenging you to come alongside them to support the work of AFR. Here's how you can do it.
How can we do it?
You can call this number. We have folks standing by and sitting by.
That's right.
Who are waiting to take your call. And here's the number, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go online to AFR.net to give to this ministry, and the $50,000 Founders Day Challenge is going on for about the next 8.5 minutes.
Thank you, everybody who's already called in. We got William in Denton, Texas. These are people called probably the last hour. Lynn in Wisconsin. What town is that?
Schulzburg,
Wisconsin. We've got William in Jamestown, North Dakota. We really are American Family Radio, aren't we?
Yeah, all we've over got the country. Someone from Alan and Jolene from Makokata,
Iowa. A lot of Indian names across our country. That
Kevin from Coal Valley, I can pronounce that one, in Illinois.
Yeah, and Aaron in Louisville, Mississippi, and Gary in Merker, Oklahoma. Let's hear from one of our fine listeners right now.
I got connected to Martin by Tim's letter that he sent out before your spring Share-a-thon. He said, "We get letters, emails, and phone calls daily about how God is using American Family Radio to change lives, but this is one of the most powerful testimonies we've received." And then Tim said, "If you want to drop Martin a letter of encouragement, you may write him at this address," and he gave the whole address and his number. I mean, when I read it, he talked about being locked up in maximum security prison. And he said that his only stimulation was a radio. And he got locked in solitary confinement. And all he had, and this was kind of God's sense of humor, but all he had was AFR and a Spanish station. So he just decided that he would listen to it. It was the only communication he had. He, after listening for 2 months, got down on his knees and asked the Lord to come in his life. And he said from then on, his life just turned completely around. I read that letter and just cried. And then Tim said, "Hey, if you want to send some encouragement to him, write him a letter." And I thought, I'm going to do that. And so I wrote him. And about a month later, he wrote me back. And I thought, I'm amazed. And from then on, we've been writing back and forth. And he's just told me little bits and pieces about his life and what's happened. And the amazing thing was the letters that came from your readers of encouragement and prayer to him happened right when he was being transferred from maximum security to general population prison. He didn't get those letters until he was moved to this other prison. And then they started, forwarding his mail. And he got it, and he said, "I took an average of the dates." And he said the dates that I were getting these letters of prayers, encouragement, Bibles, he said all kinds of things, I realized that it was the same time that God came in this maximum security prison and brought me, they shackled him up, took him to a general population prison, gave him a job. And one day he said, that's never happened before. And he said, it was those prayers of these AFR listeners that I read in these letters that got me moved. He said, it was just all because of prayers and AFR. And let me just tell you one other thing. I sent him Tim's letter and he had never seen it. So I sent a copy of Tim's letter and the back of his letter that was on it. And he said, I feel like a rock star. Could have got all this mail and then Tim's writing and sending it to all these thousands of people. He said, I just want people to know what AFR has done for me and what they must be doing for thousands of other people that are in prison that are listening to American Family Radio. I'm just amazed with the Lord. I don't know why I'm still amazed. I mean, that's what the Lord does. You'd think I'd have a little more faith in him. I can't wait to call and just tell him that you're still a rock star in Jesus' eyes.
Amen. Wow. Well, I remember that letter. We get a one or two letters a week from people who are incarcerated, you know, either in a county jail or a federal or state penitentiary, yeah. And who listen to American Family Radio and found us. Sometimes that's all they have because they don't have a TV or whatever, and they listen to American Family Radio. And so we are doing ministry inside prisons with AFR. But I remember what she's talking about, that caller.
Well,
Nancy there.
You know, regardless of who wins in the November election, and that's less than a month away, folks, our country needs a lot, I mean a lot, of help. And that help comes from God. Our country needs a heart transplant. And I'm not just saying this because it's Share-a-thon, but American Family Radio, I believe, has been raised up by God for just such a time as this. It's done a lot of wonderful work. God has given us the ability to do a lot of wonderful work since 1991 when the network started. But Tim and Fred, our country needs the gospel. It needs the truth of God's word maybe more than ever before, at least in our lifetimes. Our country is mentally and emotionally and spiritually very sick.
Yes.
And it needs the truth. And American Family Radio is being used by God to reach people. So when we say it's Share-a-thon, we have to have the help of our listeners.
Yes.
And so, folks, I'm going to give you the number here.
Call and make a donation.
It'd be as generous as you can. The number to call is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. You can go online at AFR.net if you want to give. Now, folks, we do have what we call premiums. These are small tokens of appreciation. There's no way we can give you a gift that is equal in value to what you send to us. But we do like to express our thanks to you. So for a one-time gift of $150 or more, you will receive a small Revive Us Again travel bag. If you become a Great Commission partner, and that by that we mean someone who gives monthly right out of your bank account or your debit card or your credit card, with a monthly gift of $30 or more, you will receive not only the Revive Us Again travel bag, but Tim's excellent book, his brand new book.
Oh, stop.
Because These Things Matter. It is a compilation of columns that he has written over the years for our monthly magazine. That's if you become a Great Commission partner. The number is 877-616-2396. We ask you to please give and be as generous as you can. Our country, I'll just say this, I think our country needs the ministry of American Family Radio. We're not alone in ministries helping our country, but we believe God has raised this ministry up for just such a time as this.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.